Philippians chapter 1 and verse 19. You know, we considered it twice on the Lord's Day, but we considered the main overarching theme surrounding those great two parts of the proposition in verse 21, for me to live is Christ and to die is gain, or for me to live, Christ, to die, gain. And I want us to look again as part of verse 19, reading the whole verse, for I know that this will turn out for my deliverance through your prayer and the supply of the Spirit of Jesus Christ. And particularly, that phrase, and the supply of the Spirit of Jesus Christ. Deliverance for Paul through your prayer and the supply of the Spirit of Jesus Christ. As we saw last Lord's Day, the Apostle Paul is writing these words in the midst of extreme difficulty and danger, even to his life. He's imprisoned. He is being berated by many of the new preachers of the gospel who are preaching out of envy against the Apostle and even strife, and maybe even the other apostles. And then there is division and disunity in this church, wonderfully constituted through the instrumentality of the Apostle Paul, of course, primarily through the Spirit of God. The first church in the West. And we looked last time at the statement which is surprising when he says that to die is gain. But that's not the only surprising thing he says. He says here in verse 19 that he needs the supply of the Spirit of God through the prayers of his, that is, God's people. So, Paul here, referring to himself, speaks about the need for the supply of the Spirit of God. And we're speaking about the unbeliever, but that's not so surprising. In fact, that's absolutely essential. So we just want to look at that phrase a little bit more carefully as it applies to Paul and his need for the supply of the Spirit through the prayers of the people of God. And after all, we are here to pray to the Lord. What is Paul actually saying when he says that he needs the supply of the Spirit of God? Now, we said in a broad sense, or generally, or summing it up, that the word supply can easily be translated by the provision of the Spirit of God. What does he mean by that? Well, in the first place, let's just briefly look at what he does not mean. Now, Paul does not mean that he has no abiding and residing Spirit of God in his life or in his soul. That's very obvious. The Lord Jesus Christ in John chapter 3 tells Nicodemus that to be born again, to be regenerated, is the work of God the Holy Spirit, and nobody in his or her right mind who understands anything of the scriptures are going to say that at this point Paul is not a regenerate man. He was an apostle. And he was a man filled with the Spirit. How do we know that we are born again? Although we might, well, not might, although we are not, and we will never be, in the richness of the measure of the Spirit of God as the Apostle Paul. We have like precious regenerating faith, but we're not of the measure of the apostles and many other great men and women who've been given the Spirit of God in the richness of their life and experience more than us. But all of us have the Spirit of God. We are regenerated. And how do we know that we are regenerated? By our appetites. How do we know that a child is born? Well, by its cries. The child of God prays to the Lord. By its appetite, a child cries when it's hungry, or he or she is hungry, and so on. By its desire to obey God. All these things show that we are regenerate, and that can only take place if we have been given the Spirit of God. In fact, Romans 8:9, this very apostle puts it like this: if anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, he is not his. If anyone, the youngest child in the faith who believes in the Lord, has the Spirit of Christ. In 1 Corinthians 12 and verse 3, we're all aware of these truths. This is what the Apostle Paul tells the Corinthian church. No one can say that Jesus is Lord except by the Holy Spirit, which is the Spirit of God and the Spirit of Christ. Lord, in other words, submitting to him. And here we know that the Apostle Paul begins, as do many of the other writers of the New Testament, as the bond servant of Jesus Christ. The flip side of the bond servant, that's declaring his position, is that the Lord is, that Jesus Christ is his Lord and Master. He was a bond servant. He had the Spirit of God, and in great measure. So Paul does not mean in any way that he does not have the Spirit of God in regenerating power, in apostolic power. Remember, he says the signs of an apostle was done, and that he ministered in the Spirit with a demonstration of the Spirit and power in their midst. And in his own life, he ministered with the Lord as his Master and sovereign king, and he himself being his bondservant. All that's very clear. That's not what he means. Now then, what does he actually mean? Well, this is what he means. There are times in every believer's life and every follower of Christ, no matter how great they are, even the apostles, where they need a special provision of the Spirit of God for special tasks or situations. Special supply or provision of the Spirit of God. I mean, this sort of thing is true in the lives of human beings. We can handle day-to-day life, generally speaking, as a norm. We're used to the many duties and functions that we are called to do. But there are times of special danger or special need when we need a special supply of courage and resolve. It's simply an illustration, abstract though it is, from day-to-day human life. You know, people who are functioning in difficult circumstances in the hospital. I mean, being in a hospital, whether you're a physician or a nurse, is especially difficult because you're dealing with people's health and life. But in a time like this, when funds are stretched, resources are stretched, there needs to be a special supply. Or take that of a soldier. It's all right, training, that's hard enough. But when they have to step onto the field of battle, they need special strength and courage. That's the sort of thing that the Apostle Paul is speaking spiritually. Remember, he is imprisoned, his life could very well be taken. He's not sure whether he'll live or die. And he's concerned about the churches. And he's torn between two choices. And he needs a special supply of the Spirit of Jesus Christ. And this is exactly what he is asking for. We have it right throughout the book of Acts. In Acts 4 and 17, we read this. This is when the apostles were beaten and threatened. We read in verse 17 that the leaders and the rulers and the elders of Israel conspired against them. And this is what they say, so that it spreads, that is the gospel of Jesus Christ, spreads no further among the people. Let us severely threaten them, and from now on, they should speak to no man in his name, in Christ's name. And in verse 8, Peter, filled with the Holy Spirit, said to them, rulers of the people and elders of Israel, and then, as this concludes in verse 31, we're still in chapter 4 of Acts, we're considering Philippians 3 and verse 19, what it means for a special supply of the Spirit of Jesus Christ for the Apostle Paul, who already had the supply of God, the Holy Spirit. And we were thinking along the lines that a special supply of the Spirit is required for special needs. And here in verse 31, this is what we read. And when they had prayed, the apostles, the place they were assembled together was shaken. And they were filled with the Holy Spirit, and they spoke the word of God with boldness. Is a special filling of God, the Holy Spirit, for a special task when they were threatened. Very much like what the Apostle Paul is speaking about in Philippians 1:19. Or take Acts chapter 7, Stephen is being stoned to death. And toward the end of it, and this again is such a negation of the false gospel of those who say that if you have faith, God will deliver you from every trouble and sickness in this world. Remember, Stephen, the man who was already filled with the Spirit of God, was martyred. But in the midst of all that experience, here we read in verse 55, but he being full of the Spirit, full of the Holy Spirit, gazed into heaven and saw the glory of God and Jesus standing at the right hand of God. This is while he is being stoned to death. First of all, a special supply of the Spirit was given to him for courage to speak with all boldness. Remember, that's what we read about the Apostle Peter in Acts 4:31. Filled with the Holy Spirit, they spoke the word of God with boldness. It's exactly what Stephen had, a supply of God the Holy Spirit, to speak with boldness, but then also a supply of God the Holy Spirit that while he was being stoned to death, he was filled by the Spirit of God and he sees the glory of God. Well, that's what the Spirit of God does as he's supplied to us. And then chapter 13, this is regarding the disciples. Verse 52, they were filled with joy and with the Holy Spirit. We come across those were full of the joy of the things of the Lord. I'm sure you can recall one or two people in your experience. This is not the jumping up and down in the emotional highs that is whipped up in a crowd psychology, as I said last time. I didn't use the word psychology. There's such a thing as crowd psychology. If we get enough people together, and if we have certain kinds of activities and rhythm and music and certain things that touch the people's nerve, you can whip up a certain kind of psychology. It's not that sort of thing. Paul is sitting in prison, chained. Stephen is being stoned to death. The disciples are being threatened. And yet they're filled with the joy of God the Holy Spirit. So now we can answer specifically what the Apostle Paul, at least partially, but specifically what the Apostle Paul means by supply of the Spirit of God. He needs a special supply of the Spirit of God as he's chained. It's exactly the same thing with all of us as believers. No matter how great and mighty they are in the things of God, like the Apostle Paul was or Peter was, if they needed a special supply of the Spirit of God, so do we. See, we also struggle. Paul was struggling with a number of things. He struggled with things within. He was struggling with things that were happening in the church. We struggle with things that happen in the church, within ourselves, with things in the church. Paul was imprisoned. We all know what it is to be under the binding influence of certain kinds of sin in our lives. Spiritual indolence is one. The remaining sin with which we live and sleep with ease, without struggle. That's a kind of imprisonment. Without the ability to mortify the flesh. What do we need? We need a special supply of the Spirit of God for these things. And the Apostle Paul says, that supply of the Spirit of God, he's writing to the church, not an individual here, the local church, people who are committed around the scriptures and prayer and the breaking of bread and so on. That they are involved in calling upon God. This is what we need to pray for. Through your prayers. Here he's not asking for it, in other places he does. He says that he already knows that they are praying for him and for one another. There is a second meaning for the supply of the Holy Spirit. You know, not only for special tasks, but there are special sovereign times of the endowment of the Spirit of God upon the people of God. Well, let me just quote some verses. I'm sure you've all read these verses sometime or another. Look at what the psalmist says. I'm going to quote entirely from the psalm in the beginning. Psalm 80 and 18. Then we will not turn back from you. Revive us and we will call upon your name. This reviving or quickening is a special work of the Spirit of God by the supply of his person. Then we will not turn back from you. Naturally, our inclination is to turn from the Lord. It happens to me. I think, I'm not sure if it was today or yesterday, it might be today. This morning, instead of first going to the things of the Lord, it could be yesterday, I think it is today. It happens quite a number of times. My inclination was to do a number of other things. That's a kind of turning back from the Lord. Seek first the kingdom of God is not some merely overarching idea in a Christian's life or when he first comes to know the Lord. It should be the driving principle of our life day to day. We need a special supply of the Spirit of God, because just like the compass needle turns toward the North Pole, our default position is to do other things. The psalmist knew this. Then we will not turn. He not only spoke about himself, about the people of God. This is who we are. You want to first turn to the Lord and put him first throughout the whole day. And then we need a special supply of the Spirit. Don't think you can do it by your own strength. The word in the Hebrew is chaya. It means to live prosperously. Revival means to live prosperously. That's a partial meaning of it. Be quickened, be made alive, be stirred up, to take oneself in hand. Our time is going, so let me move on. Psalm 85 and 6, exactly the same word. Will you not revive us again, that your people may rejoice in you? How are you going to have the joy of the Lord? You need a special supply of the Spirit of God. Isn't it terrible that we rejoice in good health, primarily or fundamentally, in gifts that we have, or a new home, or car, or whatever else it might be? But if we examine our lives, we do not rejoice often in the Lord as we rejoice in some of these things. And we need the supply of the Spirit of God to put this first. You may know one or two people. Maybe more than that. I can point to two or three people in this church and many others who are filled with the joy of the Lord. I don't think this person is listening, so I might mention him. You try and speak to Ted Munn. He's got many limitations. But the thing that comes across is the joy of the Lord. Anybody who's spoken to him, and if you haven't, you should go speak to him. There are others like that. Others very naturally will speak to you about the things of God. We need a special supply of the Spirit of God to be that the experience of the church at large. This used to be, you know, when The Spirit of God reformed the church here after the Reformation for one or two centuries after that. The standard question after every service that people would ask is, how did you fare under the word? Not, isn't it a lovely day? How did you fare under the word? Not just encouraging things, but how did you fare? Have you examined yourself? The joy of the Lord and the concern for the things of soul prosperity. Thirdly, Psalm 119, verse 25, my soul clings to the dust. Revive me according to your word. Now this, I've already touched on this, haven't I? That like the needle on the compass points naturally to the things of the world. My soul clings to the dust, that is the things of the earth, says the psalmist. Revive me according to your word. We need a special supply of the Spirit of God. That's why prayer is so important and prayer meetings are so important. It's the fundamental meeting of the church along with the worship service. Acts 2:42. And Paul is saying, through your prayers, we need a special supply of the Spirit of God. This was in my reading yesterday and today, so I want to read and close with that. And this is the use and the helpfulness of reading systematically, even though, you know, we struggle with these things and we have to adjust the portions that we read according to what's manageable. So I don't want to overburden you, but listen to this. Greatest examples of the supply of the Spirit of God. And then let us think about what we need and what we need as a church and the churches of Christ. Nehemiah 8:1-3. I could read a lot more, but we don't have time for it. Let me just read the first three verses and then another three verses from Nehemiah chapter 9. Now all the people gathered together as one man in the open square that was in front of the water gate, and they told Ezra the scribe to bring the book of the law of Moses which Jehovah had commanded Israel. This is a supply of the Spirit of God in abundance. We often say, you know, that before the services that the Lord might help the preacher. Yes, but the Lord has to help the people. And the Lord can pour out his Spirit on the people, even if the preacher is poor. And we ought to be praying for that and encouraging everyone to pray. Look at what happens here. All the people gathered together. This was not an initiative from the top down. All the people gathered together as one man. In the open square that was in front of the water gate. And they told Ezra the scribe to bring the book of the law of Moses which Jehovah had commanded Israel. Don't we need a supply of the Spirit of God for this to be true in our midst? Or we have all these other complaints and dissatisfactions. So Ezra the priest brought the law before the assembly of men and women and all who could hear with understanding. So the children were included that could hear with understanding. Whatever level of understanding there was. Then he read from it in the open square that was in front of the water gate from morning till midday. Before the men and women and those who could understand, and the ears of all the people were attentive to the book of the law. Nehemiah 9:1-3. Now on the 24th day of this month, the children of Israel were assembled with fasting and sackcloth and with dust on their heads. Humility. confession, repentance, earnest seeking of God. Then those of Israelite lineage separated themselves from all the foreigners, you're speaking about people who are interfaith, and they stood and confessed their sins and the iniquities of their fathers, and they stood up in their place and read from the book of the law of Jehovah their God for 1/4 of the day, and for another fourth they confessed and worshipped Jehovah their God. Who among us has witnessed this kind of supply of the Spirit of God? Or if you have, how long has it been? We were struggling to pray for all sorts of things. We should pray what Paul prayed and what the Bible teaches us to pray. A supply of the Spirit of God. Revive us, O Jehovah. My soul clings to the dust. Where are the men and women who pray like this? Lots of people who are selective. Throw a blanket over all these things. But unless we come like these people, as the Bible teaches us, well, let's pray that the Lord would do this for us and our children, and for the churches of Christ in every place, whatever denomination they are, as long as they put the Word of God first and put the work of Jesus Christ central, whatever denomination they might be. Like Paul, let's pray for a supply of the Spirit of God so that we might be to the pleasure of His glory. Amen. Well, let's sing hymn number 314, or follow the singing of hymn number 14, Spirit of God, descend upon my heart. Not because we do not have the Spirit of God, but because we want a fresh supply for these specific things. And then I'm going to pray briefly, and then as you're led, please pray around and pick up the matters that have not been prayed for by others. Hymn number 314.